5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, listener. It is March the 8th. Good God. Yes, it's 9:30 Central Time. The new Panic Room, episode 84. And, yeah, it just seems like yesterday we were on the air. So I presume it wasn't, because then it would be, I'd be wrong. I'd just be talking to myself. But hey, what are you going to do? It is, yes. I don't know what's going on tonight. I sort of had a big day today. I went to my little girl's field day, watching all the chubby kids falling over, which kind of entertained me for a couple of hours, I have to say. But no, it just makes me sound cruel that now, doesn't it? So, I know I've missed her, and I'm sure everyone else has as well. It's the one and only. Xena, how are you this evening?
I am wonderful. I hope
I didn't come across as a tad cruel there, but it is funny.
I was giggling. I know, I totally. Well, yeah, I agree. So I was giggling. I don't know if
it's funny.
It's funny.
I tell you, for anybody who knows my daughter, I mean, she's 8 years old. She's She's very active. She's got an ounce of fat on her. I mean, she, for all the crap she's, I'm surprised, to be honest. But she's lean. She's fit. She, you know, she does all this. They were doing the three-legged race, where it's like elementary school bondage in many ways. But they tied my little fit athletic daughter to the fattest girl in the class. And
oh, no.
I took a picture. The look on my daughter's face was like, what the, you know, seriously.
How did they do?
Well, how do you think they did? Seriously.
You know, I don't know. Mm. I'm probably really bad, but, you know, it could have gone anyway.
She was tied to the chubby kid. How do you think she did, really? Take a wild one. But anyway, speaking of chubby children, we have this. This is kind of apt.
What? 당대회를 앞두고 경제 발전과 인민 생활 향상에 크게 이바지할 수 있는 수많은 주요 대상 건설을 짧은 기간에 훌륭히 완공하고 당 중앙의 중종의 보고서들을 보내어 왔습니다.
And of course, that was Kim Jong-un agreeing to meet with Donald Trump, which means pretty much we're all fucked. It was just announced, unless Trump made it up. Apparently, he makes a lot of things up. But allegedly,
yeah, but
Kim has agreed to meet with Trump. And you know, it. I mean, everyone's, oh, it's great, it's a breakthrough. I think it's a disaster. I mean, it was better when they were just hurling insults at each other over the internet. But, you know, it's a meeting that will go probably tremendously well up until the point Trump calls him fatty, fatty toad boy or some such, you know, and then...
oh, God,
But of course, we have Putin is the bad guy this week. Allegedly, a Russian who was a spy for the... MI5 for England, and he was obviously back in, he's part of a spy exchange a couple of years ago. Him and his daughter were poisoned in London. They haven't 100% pinned it on Russia yet, but they say they're close to doing that. I mean, Theresa May, the English Prime Minister, is making all sorts of noises about retribution, etc. But once they've finally pinpointed the nerve agent, they reckon they will be able to point it back to Putin. Because apparently, I didn't know this, in Russia, only the president can order a hit on foreign soil. So it could be the Cold War. I mean, you know, having lived through the Cold War in the 70s and 80s, you know, here we are again. You know, it seems to go in cycles, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to go bury my head back in the sand now.
You know, I think that's a good thing. I don't know, you know, as parents, you know, we worry, you know, is there going to be a planet left for the kids, you know? It's just that you've got
definitely
all these people just doing just dumbass stuff. I mean, I genuinely hope that Trump and Kim meet and they get on well, have a round of golf and laugh it all off and are buddies. You know, that would be fantastic, you know, because it would be one layer of pressure off, you know, the powder keg that is the world at the moment. But
We're giving way too much credit for, you know, to our president.
That's
right,
the
now
thing. I mean, the man is an ass. He's not a statesman. Anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone else, you know, Obama, Clinton, even George W. Bush, for Christ's sake, would do,
right,
you know, I'd be more confident in. But Trump, Jesus.
Not this disaster,
But you never know.
I am happy.
Progress, you know. And ironically, whichever way it comes out, you know, Kim is going to come out as being the bigger man. because you know, he's the one that instigated this, and you know, I think he'll come out on top, which is good. It'll make Trump look even more of a twat.
I have been happy with my distractions. Right now I'm distracting myself with spring training, baseball spring training. Go ahead.
Careful.
Are you going to push the
Careful.
Button? Careful. Come on, can I say
I've got hang on a minute. I've got a small one.
Oh, Lord.
There you go.
Okay, we're real, real, real fast on Xena's baseball corner. The Blue Jays have won 3 games in a row now. So, woohoo, go Blue Jays. That's it. You can handle that.
Are you sure that's it?
That's it. Until next week. Then I'll have an update for you, Okay, moving along swiftly
before I do. Yes. So what have you been? Tell me, what have you been working on this week since our last soiree?
What am I working on? Why do you do these? And then I'm like a deer caught in the headlights.
I ask you pretty much every week.
You do, I haven't gotten anything together. I am editing. I'm editing books for Hellbound, and I am pretty much, let's see, we have a release party coming up on the 16th for the re-release of Light Musings, and I'm really excited about that because it has a brand new cover, and it's really pretty, and there's a bunch of bonus material in it, so I'm really excited about that. And,
Awesome. There's a release party for tomorrow for the Meddler as well, I believe.
We do, yes.
It's Donna Marie McCarthy, who's British, and if she's listening, Rule Britannia and Duck. Putin's going to be hurling things at you soon.
I love her. I do. I absolutely adore her. One of the main reasons I love her so much is because she loves my poetry, and she just speaks so very highly of it. And I love her. I want to hug her and you know, just... I don't know, maybe do less. No, I'm not. Never mind. Just hug her. That's what I want to do.
You can't say that. Oh, my. I'd like to apologize to all the lesbians listening in.
I just said, that's all.
Yeah, we know. We were reading. I was reading between the lines, for goodness sake.
I could have just said.
How dare you?
I stopped myself and.
But not quick enough.
Awesome.
You didn't. No, she's. I mean, we obviously Biddy Trot was the first of hers that was published by Hellbound, and Medler is it's more darkly, it's more humorous. It's like an adult fairy tale. It's written in that same sort of gothic style that Donna does so incredibly well. I was privileged enough to read it when she first sent it in. It's like, wow, you know, it just reads like a fairy tale for grown ups, and I really enjoyed it. So
that'll be exciting. The event for tomorrow is actually for Donna's book as well as Isabel Blackthorn, the Legacy Bowl Grand Parks. It's a double header.
Just stop it.
What?
You know, which is lesbians, double headers. You're obsessed, woman. What is your problem this evening?
I think that's you, not
Seriously.
Me.
Oh, is it? Oh, I'm so sorry. Then I am sorry. I humble
no, you're
myself.
Not. You're never sorry about anything you say.
No, I'm not. I have no conscience and no moral compass, apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently,
yeah,
said all the therapists ever. Anywho, we have. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to put you on the spot. Do we have a show tonight? Because I have no idea.
Yeah, I know. You say that all the time. And no, we do have a show tonight. And let's see. We
hurrah!
Have.
Hurrah! Hurrah!
Sorry.
Before you do, here we go. I've got another one.
Good news, everyone.
Right, that's your cue. Now you can do it.
Is that it?
I've been fiddling. Now that was it.
Okay, because then you do the... Anyway, whatever. We have crime fiction author Andrew Netty on the show tonight. And we also have paranormal romance author Damian J. Clark, and he is a returning guest, so, you know, he already knows what he's getting himself into by agreeing.
And he's come back. These people should know better. They really
it's just own fault, yeah.
So, hey, thanks to modern technology, we did speak to Andrew earlier in the week because he was phoning in from sunny Melbourne. It was sort of mid-afternoon for him, so he's probably all sunning himself on the putting the shrimp on the barbie sort of thing, you know. So here we go. This is where we press the button and you and I can sit back and drink. So
drink, yes.
There you go. So here we go. This is introducing Andrew Netty. So away we go. Our first guest is Andrew Netty. Who should be there? Are you there, sir?
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
Hello. We knew that, really. How are you this evening?
Oh, well, it's actually a beautiful sunny day here in Melbourne, so I'm quite good. Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, excellent. So it's actually Wednesday for you.
It is. Oh gosh, was I supposed to play along that was it was at night time?
No, it's fine. We have guests from all over the world on this show. It's kind of because obviously I'm not used to living in a country with more than one time zone. I mean, England has one time zone. That's it. America's got, was it four? And then obviously relating that back to I get confused. I really do. So I hope it's
really
a nice afternoon there for you.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. He's like a day and a half ahead of us. So I had some girlfriends one time that were New Zealand, and I used to joke around with them all the time and say, you know, if there's any, you know, like crazy world, you know, worldwide, you know, tragedy or something, give me a heads up, you know, let me know. So I don't know if it works that way, but that'd be kind of cool.
Well, you know, somebody did actually post on Facebook saying, you know, if China are like a day ahead, how come they didn't warn America about 9/11?
Yeah.
And I think they were actually genuine, you know. There's some scary people. Anyway, Andrew Netty is here to talk to us about his book, Ghost Money. He's a crime fiction writer. This was released in 2015 by Crimewave Press, and it has one of the longest taglines on the planet, and I'm going to read it. So it is, Ghost Money is a noir fiction novel set in 1996 Cambodia and involves a missing person's case, a plane load of gold, and a mystery that goes back to the heart of Cambodia's bloody past. So you've got me hooked, Andrew. Tell us more.
Oh, well, I mean, the book is set, as I said, as the tagline goes, in 1996. It was a period during which I was working as a journalist in Cambodia.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of set and influenced by the events that were taking place in 1996, which include, I suppose, the beginning of what would then become a much more serious split in the butchers that used to run Cambodia called the Khmer Rouge, and various other things that were going on at the time.
Well, you must have seen some horrendous things over there.
Well, no, I mean, I saw some not pleasant things. I saw some amazing things. I mean, I think that was part of the reason I had been living in that part of Asia, in Laos, Vietnam and Cambodia, and moving around all three of them as a journalist for quite a few years, since about 1992. I'd been moving around. And I'd always been interested to why there was so little crime fiction set in Asia, because it's an amazing place, and it's a place where you really just can't invent things that basically happen on the street every day there. I mean, amazing things and terrible things. I suppose you could probably say that about anywhere virtually, but it seemed very very real and very urgent and very, very colourful and alive and full blown back when I was living there in the 1990s.
Yes, with the history, I mean, it sounds like the perfect place to set you know, a crime novel? I mean, is it the place itself that inspired the book, or did you have the idea for the book and then, you know,
I started writing. I was in 1996. I was working in Cambodia as a wire service journalist, and look, to be honest, working hard, drinking far too much, and probably taking far too many drugs, and just didn't have the time or the energy to put it together. I was too much in the thick of it. But then, then in 2008, my family and I moved to Cambodia for a year. So I went back, spent the year there, wrote the first draft of the book, also worked as a journalist. As I said, it was a place that I really felt, in some respects, it was kind of like a daily crime novel in some respects. But it was a place where so much was going on. It's a beautiful country. It's a country that's obviously had a very tortured past in terms of the civil war there, and then the American intervention, then the Pol Pot years, and then the Vietnamese coming in and throwing out Pol Pot and those years, and then the ongoing civil war in Cambodia, which really only stopped in about 2000 and in the early 2000s. So it had been dribbling along for years and years. There were so many larger than life characters. There was so much going on. And I suppose I was always interested too, as a crime writer. I'm interested in many things as a crime writer, but one of the things that really interests me is the idea of crime, of how you solve crimes or what crimes are in a country where terrible things have happened. So another one of my favorite, for example, crime series is a series of books by a British author called Philip Kerr, and it's called the Berlin Noir Trilogy, and it's basically about this sort of PI solving crimes amid the rise of the Nazis in the 1930s. Fascinating idea. What's a crime when Nazism is on the rise, and ditto in Cambodia? What's a crime and what is justice? What's a crime and what is justice in a country where, you know, by some accounts, 1 million people were slaughtered by the Khmer Rouge, and then there's an ongoing civil war that goes on for years afterwards? And so those were ideas I sort of partly wanted to investigate in Ghost Money.
It's a good point. Is where is the line drawn? I mean, certainly it's a place like, you know, Cambodia, and then obviously like Rwanda, places like that. But, you know, brutality is everyday occurrence. You know, it can't be easy to sift through, you know, what's a crime, what is just. I guess it becomes the norm. You know, people become desensitized to it. And, you know, I mean, obviously you'd be familiar with say, law enforcement in Cambodia. I mean, how do they deal with it? You know, are they just that numb to it, or is it just like a police force here or anywhere?
It's a long time now since that's happened. I mean, things 2008 was a sort of interesting. 2007-2008 was an interesting tipping point in Cambodia, in the sense that I think the country really began to be globalized. A lot of investment came in, a lot of development happened that had good and bad aspects to it. I mean, the basic problem in Cambodia, which is essentially still, I suppose, the brutalization of the culture that happened as a result of the civil war and the Khmer Rouge, but also the fact that they have a government now that is still very authoritarian, that's being very diplomatic about it, and there is still a complete there's still a complete immunity to so much wrongdoing and human rights abuses that is going on. The sort of more high level way of putting it is to saying that there's a culture of impunity in Cambodia. Rich people get away with stuff all the time that they really should be in jail for. That's on a large meta scale in terms of land grabs and things like that. It's also on a very small scale in terms of a drunk rich person that gets into a car and then hits and kills someone and then buys off the family. I mean, I've seen both those examples.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that culture of impunity, I think, is still going on. But there's lots. It's a very dynamic culture, and I think the one thing that had really changed in 2008 and has changed since I've been back there since then is you've got this massive group of young the youth has really come into play. So it's a very young culture now, and those people are really going to have a profound effect on where Cambodia goes, but hopefully for them, and I suspect for the better.
That's right? Good. Mm-hmm. So,
well,
the ghost money. Who is the protagonist? Is he a cop, an investigator?
So the protagonist is a half Vietnamese. So he's an Australian Vietnamese ex-cop turned private investigator who is basically goes to Cambodia on a case to find a missing Australian gem trader called Charles mm-hmm. Avery and gets found, and this gets bound up in a whole lot of things. So the missing Australian gem trader is that line of the book is very much based on some real events that happened in Cambodia last decade. The gem mining industry was very big in Cambodia. The Khmer Rouge, in fact, used the gem mining industry as one of the things they used to mine gems to buy guns. They sell the gems to Thailand. And I made the protagonist a half Vietnamese Australian because, for various reasons, understandable and completely illogical and completely the Vietnamese are not a particularly popular group of people in Cambodia. So I wanted to do that to add an edge to the narrative. So he's not just a stranger in Cambodia, as far as most Cambodians are concerned, and the book has a lot of Cambodian characters because it was very important to me that it was also about Cambodia and Cambodian characters. As far as Cambodians are concerned, he's Vietnamese, and that's how they look at him. And so that basically throws him into a whole other series of sort of issues while he's in Cambodia.
Mm. Well, so he's pretty much got all the odds against him. Yeah.
Well, I basically do everything bad, pretty much everything bad to him I can possibly think of doing.
Wow. Oh, poor guy.
I'm anxious to hear the reading. Do you have a reading ready for us, Andrew? I want to hear these bad things that are going to happen to him.
I do have a reading. This is not, there's nothing particularly bad, but this actually is bad. This is bad, and it is bad in some respects, but it's basically about halfway through the book, and a lot of very bad things have happened to the character. His name is Max Quinlan. He becomes friends with this a Cambodian man, and I won't give away the plot, but basically situations got so bad that the main character Max Quinlan has decided he needs to buy a gun. And back in the 1990s, back in the mid-1990s, it was very easy to buy a gun in Cambodia. In fact, it was very easy to buy a lot more than guns in Cambodia. So I've just got a very short sequence where about this. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, go for it.
Thank you. It was like a sauna under the tin roof of the Russian market, so called because it had been the preferred shopping precinct of the city's erstwhile Soviet community. Quinlan wiped sweat from his face as he and Sarin pushed past tourists milling around stalls selling T-shirts, silk scarves, fake antiques, pirated video cassettes and old banknotes. They reached a quiet area to the rear, and Sarin exchanged a few words with an overweight Cambodian who stood in front of a doorway covered by a sheet of black plastic. Man stepped aside and lifted the plastic. Inside, several Cambodians, one in military uniform, sat next to trestle tables covered with tarpaulins. Dust particles from the dirt floor danced in the beams of light shining through the gaps in the wooden walls. Quinlan stayed by the door as Sarin approached the men. After a brief exchange, he gestured to Quinlan to follow. The men threw back the tarps to reveal rows of weapons, AK-47 machine guns, US-made M16 rifles, pistols of different shapes, sizes and vintages. Crates of ammunition lay stacked under the tables. Though Quinlan knew decades of war had left Cambodia awash with weapons, he was still taken back by the firepower on display. "I want a pistol, something small but with stopping power," he told the nearest gun seller. The man nodded as Sarin translated and started his sales pitch. "They have a good range of quality handguns, East German Lugers, American 45s. He can sell you a Chinese-made copy of a Colt automatic for $200. They're cheap, but they don't always shoot straight." The seller handed Quinlan a pistol. "He recommends this semi-automatic 9mm Chinese-made Tokarev. It's the standard-issue service revolver for police and military in a number of countries. There are 8 rounds in the clip. It's reliable, simple to maintain, tough and reasonably accurate. The small size makes the weapon easier to conceal, but also increases the cost. He'll give you the pistol and 3 clips of ammunition for $350. Quinlan examined the blunt piece of metal, touching the scratches and nicks, his fingers leaving prints on the oiled surface. He felt the rough patch where the serial number had been removed to make it untraceable. It was a good bet Quinlan wasn't the first owner, probably not the last. In his years on the force in Melbourne, Quinlan had only fired a gun once on the job, a hot summer night when he'd been part of a team surrounding a house used to sell drugs and a dealer had opened up on them. It felt like someone else's memory as he handed over the money. That's it. That's it.
Oh, no.
I know. I was waiting for more.
I was getting into that.
you'll have to read the book. I realised that section on guns is probably somewhat controversial given what's been happening in America over the last, some time now, but yes. Anyway,
The last 200 years,
but that passage is sort of describes, I suppose, the lawlessness that, afflicted a large part of Cambodia during that time, and the fact that, you know, you really could buy guns extremely easily on the streets.
That's a great backdrop for a novel. I like that. Yeah, and any writer, I guess, could I'm going to have that as a back. But obviously, with you having been there, you know, I was there. I was smelling the sweat and hearing the noise and obviously, with you having lived that, then you can put the reader straight there. I mean, do you go back? Is it a place you visit regularly, are you done now?
I don't get back anywhere regularly these days, unfortunately, because I've got commitments here. But yeah, it's a place I've been back to and a place I'd love to go back to again. Yeah, I think Cambodia is an amazing country. I think Cambodians are an amazing group of people. Beautiful country. I mean, amazing sunsets. God, the best sunsets I've ever seen anywhere, I think. Amazing country.
So, I mean, he's crying. I mean, what is next for him? I mean, is this a character? I don't want to, don't give away any spoilers or anything. I mean, is this a character that will recur, or is he just a one book character?
I've got a couple of other. I mean, he's a character I'd love to do something else on, but I've sort of written a subsequent book to that called Gunshine State, and that's a crime novel set in Queensland, Melbourne, and actually Thailand, with a different character. And I'm in the middle of writing a sequel to Gunshine State called Orphan Road, and that's published by a company, published by a publisher in America called Down and Out Books. So, no, I haven't got any immediate plans to revisit Quinlan. I mean, it's hard. Those books are the Quinlan book. Quinlan was a hard character to write, and he's hard because, I've done some short stories with him, but Quinlan's a character. The series would be set in Asia, and it's very hard recreating the Asia of the 1990s where the series is set. And also it means you've got to basically recreate the particular country. Like I wanted to set a Quinlan story in the Philippines. Another very interesting country which I've spent some time in, but I'm not confident enough that I really am across the country, the culture, the whole thing to really make it authentic. So I sort of played around with that for a while and then moved on and did something else. I mean, I don't think as a crime writer, I mean, it is, they call it fiction for a reason, but when you're playing with other cultures, when you're dealing with other characters, when you're dealing with characters in another culture, I think it's got to have an aspect of authenticity to it, it takes a lot of work.
No, you can tell. I mean, you know, you read a book from. I think anyone who's writing on something that they don't know much about, you know, even if they've done the research. And it's the old adage, isn't it? You know, they say write what you know, and people do, and you know, it makes all the, like you say, you know, about your book, Andrew. You know, you know the nuances of the country and the culture and the people that someone who's never been there just wouldn't have a clue. It's not something you can pick up from, you know, Googling it or reading a guidebook, you know?
That's right.
And it's nice. It's not always nice to have, you know, a taste of another culture, even if, you know, whether you're reading crime fiction or horror or whatever it is you're reading, you know, just to have that that detail. It's an education all in itself. When it's done well, you know, it can work really well. So, I mean, I was going to ask Andrew, I mean, so what do you say you're working on a sequel now? So what's in the future for you?
More books. I've just published a book I've co-edited with another Melbourne writer, which is the history of how pop fiction has depicted youth subcultures in Australia, Britain and America since not World War II. That's called Girl Gangs, Biker Boys and Real Cool Cats, Pop Fiction and Youth Culture, 1950 to 1980. So we've just about
that's a great title.
Yeah.
Well, it's the world's longest title of anything ever, which is great.
And here I thought the big book, A Bootleg Horror, was a long title.
Yeah, it makes that look like nothing. Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, do you ever? I mean, do you think you'll stick with crime fiction, or do you ever fancy, you know, writing outside of your genre?
Well, no, I think it's... Oh, look, I've done a bit of speculative fiction, but I don't think I'm very strong at it. No, I think it's crime for me, and probably for the time being, always will be. I've got a lot of ideas for novels in my mind. It's just a matter of finding the time to do them. I'm not as fast a fiction writer as I would like to be.
Wow, so that is always a limiting factor for we writers, is I guess how a the time, you're right, and how just how fast we can physically type. I should have learned to touch type many years ago. If I had, I could probably double my output, but I don't think I'm coordinated enough. That's my problem. But yeah, too old to learn that now. I think that's some.
Yes, I think so. Know. But probably yes.
Yeah. I did try to learn many years ago. In fact, when I was at university, I had a flatmate who had actually done typing, as they called it back in the day. In fact, for my son is the teacher. They call it keyboard skills now. Because, you know, we're all modern and that. But, you know, I thought it's great. I mean, everything's revolves around a keyboard these days. So,
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say I find it so fascinating. You know, when I sit down to write a story, I'm thinking to myself, do I want to set this in a country, or do I want to set this in the city? And here Andrew is, you know, what country am I going to, you know, put the story in? That is so cool to me. It really is. I really do need to broaden my horizons, because, you know, that's cool to me, just to hear the, you know, about the different cultures and I don't know. I just find it very fascinating. I could listen to him go on and on forever. I really could. I'm just, yeah. That's all I had to say.
my sequel to Gunshine State. That's another character. It's a character called Gary Chance. He's a professional thief who gets involved in various things. I'm going to set part of it in Philadelphia. So I'm going to do it.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to use all the time that I've spent in America to basically do something do something there. So I'll be turning my gaze on New York and Philadelphia.
Oh,
well, fantastic.
There we go.
Yeah. I mean, at the moment, I mean, I've been here 7 years, and I've not been really out of Houston for, you know, obviously, just, I mean, Texas is that big anyway. I've been to San Antonio, Galveston. yeah, I know, rock and roll. New Orleans is the farthest I've been so far. So, in fact, funny that the novel I'm working at the moment starts off in Texas, and then they take a road trip to New Orleans. So it's just I'm like you, Eckstein. I do need to get out, because the thing I could set one in England, but I don't know how that would be received over here. You know, I'd hate for it to. People say, oh, you know, it's England. But then again, people might like it. I don't know. I think my next one really needs to be set in England, just to sort of balance it out a little bit.
We are just about out of time for this segment, and I want to, where can we find you online, Andrew?
Well, you can find my website, which has got links to my various wares, as well as lots of other material. At www.popcurry, P-U-L-P, curry, as in the curry you eat, one word,
.com. I'm hungry now.
www.popcurry.com. I'm also on Twitter at popcurry. You're seeing a theme here coming in.
Yeah.
I'm on Twitter and Instagram as popcurry.
Okay, we have all of your links put up on our Facebook page. If anybody wants to go there and stalk Andrew, they can go there and do that. And I want to thank you again for coming on the show. And it went by way too fast, and we have to have you come back. So do you promise to come back and see us?
Oh, well, I'll come back anytime you want. In fact, you might have trouble getting rid of me now.
Oh, fantastic.
Awesome. And
Eckstina, come on.
What?
Let me get a word in edgeways. I was just going to say, when your next book is out, then you must come and plug it.
I would love to do that, sir. I would love to do that.
Fantastic. Even if Eckstina does insist on interrupting, you know, you cannot get the staff. I tell, not for love nor money, I can tell you. Okay, Andrew, thank you so much indeed for joining us, and enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Thank you very much to both of you.
Okay,
thank you.
And we will speak to you very soon. Okay, bye-bye. Right, are you still there? We can still chat.
We're
also
here.
We can edit this in post. We're all right. So, thank you so much, and we will have you on for a lot longer next time. I'd love to... I would certainly love to hear a lot more. I'm going to have to get myself a copy of your book. So, it's been a long time since I've read a good crime novel. So, I'm inspired now. I'm inspired.
Okay. Well, there's that one and Ghost Moon and Gunshine State are both set in Asia or largely in Asia. So,
brilliant.
Depends whether you want Cambodia or Thailand.
Right. I'll start with Cambodia. I'll start in Cambodia, I think.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, look, thank you so much. And, enjoy the rest
thanks
of your afternoon in Australia.
And thanks for being flexible about the time. I'm sorry about that. And I will contact you when the next one is out, hopefully sometime next year.
Awesome.
Yeah, please do.
Awesome.
Yeah, no problem. No, we're happy to accommodate anybody at any time. No problem at all.
Thank you both. You take care.
Okay.
Bye, Andrew.
We'll speak to you soon. Okay, Andrew. Cheers. Bye-bye.
The Panic Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website.
don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
How did that happen?
I don't want to work anymore. I'm done working for the night. We just listened, and that was a lot of fun. I did enjoy that.
I was listening to it. This is not bad. I guess I'll have to tune in every week. I'm like, no, I can't really because I'm
right?
on it. You know, so you know, we don't get the fun of listening to it.
I know you joke all the time. You're like, I may tune in, and I may too. I you know, we definitely need to start listening to our own show because. We're kind of fun, I think.
I wish I had the time, because I can't. If there's anything happening in the background when I'm trying to work, I'm just so easily distracted. You know, oh, a squirrel. I just can't. You know, occasionally when I'm just making sure everything's okay out there in internet land, I'll listen to little bits. But no, I've never once sat and listened to the whole show.
I have, but I don't do it anymore. But no, I have, and it's funny because even now, and I know you try to mute yourself often, you know, to make sure, whatever, when you know the guest is or you know they're reading or something. But when you don't, as soon as they start, I hear you start to fiddle with stuff, and I just think. If I was closer to you, I would, I don't know, maybe tie you down or kick you or I don't even know what. But you
just
really,
wrap me on the knuckles with a ruler. I know I'm terrible.
I know. I'm just picturing it in my mind. Like the second you're not talking, you're just like looking around for something to do.
Yeah, literally. That is it. Literally, that is me. That is me. I mean, imagine me. I mean, I've probably picked or it has picked me the worst career ever, you know, for someone like me, with whatever my problem is, being a writer, supposed to sit The thing is, I work in like 15, 20 minute bursts. And in between those bursts, I just literally just fuck about. I mean, whatever. And it's, but I don't try and plow through it because I know, right, I've done my 20 minutes. My brain, literally, it just starts wandering off. But I can, you know, I can maximize that, those bursts. And obviously I do get stuff done, but, you know, and then I'll just get up and, I don't know, you know, I have to literally get up out of my seat and, even if it's just go get myself another can of fizzy water or something, or let the dog out, or have a wee, or just something, because I could not sit in one space for more than 20 minutes. I cannot do it.
You know, and I do. I sit here and I have the information pulled up in front of me, you know, for the guests, and I just sit. I can sit, and I'm okay with that. I don't know. And I'm thinking you need your dose of Ritalin or something.
I could do, probably. Yeah, I mean, even my sort of elementary and middle school school reports, which I still have, they're up in the attic somewhere, all say, you know, I struggle to keep you pay attention, and I was always sort of entertaining myself and others, because I would just get bored, literally. Within, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes, and I'd be bored halfway through a class or start mucking about, you know. But seriously, always been this. I can't see me changing unless I start taking Ritalin or something. But then I wouldn't be me then, would I? I'd just be.
No, you wouldn't. I definitely think it's charming. It is charming.
I would be evened out. I mean, you know, I you know, we all, again, I think it goes with the territory as a writer, you know, we all have our ups and downs, and it's a very sort of bipolar sort of profession anyway, because we spend a lot of our time literally making stuff up to a point at which it starts to interface with real, and I've said this before, and I speak to a lot of writers, obviously. And, you know, you just find yourself wondering about somebody. I wonder what they're up to now, or what happened to them. Hang on, I made them up. They're not real. But that's what makes the job. Yeah, but it's, you know, you make up the character. I mean, that's what the job is, right? I've made this character up. What is he going to be doing? What is happening to him? That is what we do.
Yeah.
But when it starts drifting into everyday life, maybe I should be worried. I don't know.
As a reader, you know, it's awesome when a writer can suck you in like that. I have these romance writers that I read, and you know, it's not horror, it's just life. I mean, they're just and I am so addicted is not the right word. I'm so engrossed in these characters and invested in these characters that they're like real people. You know, it's like I don't even know what, but. You know, even when I'm not reading the book, I do find myself, oh my gosh, that's so something Lily would say. And I'm like, oh my God, Lily's a freaking figment of somebody's imagination that they put on paper. That's all she is. She's not real, but she feels real.
Well, that's the mark of a good book, is when you're getting close to the end and you start feeling sad.
Yes.
Because
it's
going to be it's like saying goodbye to good friends, you know. And good writing is good writing. It really doesn't matter what the show. I mean, I don't just read horror. I read you know, everything from, you know, political biography, autobiographies to young adult
boxes.
to what, sorry?
Cereal
boxes.
To the cereal boxes, yes. I do.
I like to know how much riboflavin I'm having in my diet on a daily basis. Thank you very much indeed.
You know, cereal boxes are
good
definitely not as fun as they used to be, though.
They're not, are they? No.
No.
I used to have this little game when I was a kid, because obviously, you know, I was brought up in you didn't have a TV in the kitchen, in any room but the lounge, obviously. So my guy, I would have the cereal box, and I would as I was eating my cereal, I'd pick out
read
the letter
it.
Of the alphabet and see if I could get from A to Z. You know, there was never an X. There was never an X ever. So that was a big gap in my life, but. Anywho, so
now you have an ex.
You know,
now you have an ex all the time. You have me.
Exactly, I have a constant ex in my life. thank you, baby Jesus. So
the universe brought us together for a reason.
but what? We don't know what.
Yeah, that's yet to be seen.
I was gonna say, time will tell.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
Are you forgetting something?
No, I am not.
Oh, hey. Okay. Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
Becky, the reviewer, how are you this evening, Becky? I would never forget you, my darling. How could I?
Only that one time.
Yeah, you need to turn your radio off in the background. I can hear me. Come on.
You would know better, too.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? After all this time. So, Becky, what do you have for us this evening?
Yes, you forgot me once.
I wouldn't dare do it again.
And James, and yes, she claims she doesn't drink. I don't know if I believe her.
No, I don't.
I don't, I swear.
Pissed as a fart, if you ask me. Come on, Becky, what have you got for this evening? Come on, I'm starting to get bored. Were you not listening before? I'm starting to fiddle with things on my desk now, so you need to really crack on now. I'll just get up and wander off. I will wander off.
No. Stay where you are. Okay, the book that I'm reviewing tonight is called Them. It's written by James Watts, and it's published by Hellbound Books.
Hang on. A bit like studio people, but thank you. Go on.
They were sneezing. This is really, really good. I mean, it really drew me in. I wasn't really sure about it because sometimes I'm kind of funny about, creature books. You know, they have to just hit me just right. Boy, this one did. This is really good. It starts out with an older lady running through the woods trying to get to her house, and she's being chased by these creatures in the woods. I will not tell you whether she gets away or not, but it's important. Then it flips to a son who has returned home to bury his mother. He runs into his childhood best friend, who is also his cousin, and they talk and decide to move into mom's home as roommates, and the son starts seeing strange things and having really weird dreams. He tries to tell his cousin, but he doesn't know whether to believe him or not. And so it kind of goes to hell in a handcart. And this is just really creepy. I absolutely loved it. It's well written. It was well thought out. James is a good writer. I felt for the characters. And sometimes that's really hard to make people do, I think. A lot of times, I just kind of read them and I'm like, oh, okay, Bob and Jim and all them. But this one, I just wanted to hug the main character.
Especially in horror books, I find that's very much true because you go into it, knowing this is horror. I don't know who's going to last toward the end. So I don't want to get too attached to them. But a good writer will you get attached anyway. And then when something horrible happens, you're like, going, no. I remember that with Tenebrian, James Longworth, Tenebrian. And, oh, man, I was almost to the end, and I was thinking, is it too much to hope for a happy ending? And, of course, it was too much to hope. But liked the characters.
It depends on your happy ending for whom. There is one character who gets a happy ending at the end of the book, so it's not all
lost.
But
I liked more than just the one character, though. I wanted everything.
Well, we like
maybe
now.
Well, it could have been like, everything is horrible. It's happening in this school, and then as soon as they get out, everything goes back to normal and everything's wonderful and. But no, that didn't happen.
Well, I think if you need to just stick to watching Scooby-Doo, to be honest, if that's what you want.
Hey, I like Scooby-Doo.
I tell you, and
like
Becky,
Scooby-Doo?
Everyone loves Scott. Becky will back me up on that. Again, obviously, I'm plugging my own books here. Flanagan has an ending that it will leave you with a spring in your step, I guarantee. And you will get to read that soon,
I promise. Oh, yes, it does. I'm telling you. Actually, if you don't read this book, I'm going to scream. Because,
I know.
Well,
I
to be fair,
you'll love it.
She is going to be editing it again soon because it needs another edit. So she will have to read it. So
I'll
there
have
you go.
To read it.
Yay!
Then, yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, that's one I can't wait to see the cover you pick out for it.
Yeah, that's how
it will be.
I like the cover
it will be phenomenal. I'm speaking to an artist as we speak, and it will be phenomenal. So Them by James Watts, available from Hellbound Books Publishing. How many Becky stars does it get?
Oh, it gets an easy nine.
I was hoping you'd say nine.
And she was fine too. I didn't think I caught the fan tonight, but she's fine.
I'm hoping. I was hoping for a 9.9 actually, but.
Oh, 99.9.
That would be even better. So Becky, thank you so much for that. Thank you. No, the tens. No, nines. The nine is great.
We're fine.
So Becky, thank you so much indeed for that. We will speak to you next week, as per,
all
and
right.
I will not forget you. Okay, you have
thank
a jolly
you,
one. Okay,
bye,
good night.
Y'all.
Bye y'all.
Bye.
I should be off to get some fixins. No doubt. Just nine fixins.
There's noises.
That's not me.
I'm hearing noises. Okay, that was me. I'm so sorry. That's so. You know, I swear to you, I turned my.
I think you saw that Chinese food you had for your dinner. Mm.
I turn off all the sound always, and because you know you don't want to hear the dinging and stuff like that. I turned on everything except for the computer. So I need a keyboard.
Well, there you go.
Just,
you should.
Right.
You can turn the volume down on that as well. You know.
I know. And
can you be quiet now? Can we you're just giddy. You're getting giddy. You're like the kids when they've had too much chocolate. You're just giddy.
We had a whole half an hour where I just sat and I didn't talk or anything. So now I have to get it out of my system.
Do you know, it was funny listening to that. I wanted to join in. I was thinking of phoning in, but it was kind of weird, but. Okay, so we have our next segment. We have paranormal erotica writer Damien J. Clark, who hopefully should be on. Damien, are you there, sir?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Good evening.
Oh, good evening. How's everybody doing?
We're fine.
We're good. We're fine. We've all got Becky disease.
Something about that conversation with Becky left me craving sweet tea. I'm not sure why.
It makes my teeth sad. They put so much sugar in it here. It's just literally. It's just like occasionally because I always have unsweet, and they will bring it, and because they've got it out the wrong canister, and it literally makes my teeth hurt. I take a slab. Oh, for. You know, this is just like 90% sugar. Take it away.
I had sweet tea for dinner tonight. I did. It was good. Oh. Better than soda, I think.
I always have iced tea. No. Always have ice. Because soda fills you up, especially when you're out for a meal. It gasses you up. And you can't eat as much. Especially if it's a buffet when you've got to eat as much as possible. Because Well, where I'm from, you know, in Yorkshire, because we're known for being thrifty, you know, an all-you-can-eat buffet is a challenge. It's not an evening out, it's a challenge. And we will, if we know we're going. And the kids are now, obviously, I've taught the kids well. And if we're going to go to the Chinese buffet across the street, we will not eat all day. We'll starve ourselves all day.
Did you just say you had one across the street? Is that what you said?
Yeah, literally, yes.
Oh, interesting. How often do you frequent this place?
Well, so often, they, if we've not been for a, like a month or so, not been for like 5 or 6 weeks, they miss us.
Yeah, they send us.
It's funny, the kids, you know, it's our go-to place for birthdays. Even the kids say, where do you want to go for your birthday dinner? Chinese buffet. Literally, they just, they know us. They ask about the kids and how we're getting on, and they're like family now. It's great. So, yeah, we do go a lot. We do go a lot.
It sounds like it, yeah. Mm. So are we actually going to talk to our guest, or are we going to just talk about Chinese, you know, buffet? We're
talking about Chinese food now. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm pretty keen on Chinese food. You're making me hungry now, too. So now I need sweet tea and
me too.
Chinese food.
Yes.
You can get the sweet tea at the Chinese buffet. There you go. Two birds, one stone.
Oh, I actually have the Chinese on speed dial. I could actually phone them while we're on the air and get some food delivered if I felt like it.
It kind of reminds me when I was growing up, and my family used to like to go to Red Lobster for the all-you-can-eat crab legs.
Oh,
and
I don't
eat seafood myself, but watching my older brother and my father have a contest on who could eat the most, I usually wound up taking a nap, and they kind of like, you know, kicked us out after a while. Like, you guys have been here too long. Get out.
Yeah, do you know, we went, the last time we went, they were having their free refill shrimp, and I'd actually paid the bill. And we were getting our cut ready to go, and they were bringing more damn shrimp, literally. And it was like, I can't eat another shrimp. And because they just kept bringing it, you know, so, and they just brought them. And we must have got through an ocean's worth of shrimp between us, but that was awesome. I like red lobster. The danger with red lobster is not filling up on the cheesy biscuits. Because they bring those nice, warm, fresh from little cheesy biscuits.
Those are really good.
Hey, do you know you can buy the mix for them?
I didn't know that.
You can make them at home. Mm.
Are they as good though? I don't think they're as good that way, are they?
Do you know they are. They're pretty damn good.
Oh, okay, awesome.
Moving along from seafood, and I'm really hungry now. Damien is, it's not often we have a paranormal romance author on, certainly not a guy, which is exciting. His book, I Did What Again, which is releasing next month. You got me at paranormal romance, Damien. So just tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, this is actually book number 2 in the series, which, James, I don't know if you remember, but last time I was on the show, I was driving, so you got to actually read my reading part from book 1.
I do remember. And I think I did really well.
You did.
I thought you did great.
I did really well, reading all those big words, and I'm not very good at reading out loud, so I was kind of proud of myself, you know.
Wait a minute, big words, that wasn't my book, that was somebody else. No, I'm just kidding. this is the second book where I'm continuing basically the story, and it's just Dr. Fox coming back to his escapades at Club Leilani with his mistress and the rest of the gang. This time I'm adding new characters just to continue things on, new scenes, and trying to make everything pretty exciting.
I did read over the excerpt, and it's pretty hot, I have to say. I'm looking forward to hearing you read it.
but before we do, we have a caller who I believe wants to say hi to Damon, so I'm going to bring her on. Hello, caller. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi,
hello. There you are. You wanted to speak to Damien.
This is Joanne.
Hi, I know. How are you?
How are you? Everybody calls me Molly.
I was, you know, that's
why?
When I was like, do I say hi, Molly, or do I say hi, Joanne?
Why?
So, hi, Molly. How are
Sorry,
you?
Why, how, since when was Molly short for Joanne? You've lost me.
It's my middle name.
There you go.
Well,
so hi, Molly.
Hello.
Is it okay if I call you Joanne? Because I hate to do what everybody else does.
I'll leave you drink coffee. You drink tea, I'll hang up.
No, I drink coffee in the mornings, but I do drink tea occasionally, especially when I'm in a Chinese restaurant.
I'm going to hang up.
Okay. Molly actually writes in the same genre as you do, Damien, and that's why I think she wanted to give a call in. I thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah, paranormal erotica.
Yeah.
Nice.
I had a few questions. So I'm new to your writing. I'd like to know the links to your books, but I'd also like to know what your go-to muses are. Pictures, music. What do you do? What drives your writing?
Well, depending on whether I'm doing my paranormal romance or my paranormal BDSM erotica, really is going to determine what I'm doing at that moment. For most of my romance stuff, I really I've got a playlist that includes. I'm into heavy metal music, so it's a lot of the new alternative, like In This Moment, Pretty Reckless, Slipknot, Shinedown, the big bands whose music just really talks to me more than just listening to something. When it comes to my other writing, that really comes from my baby girl at home, my fiance and I. We tend to talk about a lot of things and do a lot of things, and then I wind up putting it on in writing.
Nice.
Well, you're in because you drink coffee and you like metal, so I will continue the conversation.
Nice.
Let me see. What else? What are your hobbies? What kind of sports do you play? Any musical instruments?
Well, oddly enough, and this is something that surprises almost everybody who meets me, especially now that I'm an author and the things I write. I'm actually a gamer. I play pen and paper, dice on table role playing games. I got a gaming group of friends. We've all been together since high school, which at this point in time equals more than a quarter of a century of knowing each other. We play tennis. We get together every time the weather's nice and I'm home, because I drive a truck for a living, so I'm gone a lot. But we play tennis. We're looking into getting into the new craze of pickleball. Anything water sport. It's like ping pong on a half-size tennis court. It's really weird to watch, but it's kind of exciting. It's wiffle ball with paddles. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. The paddles kind of excite me, but...
They would.
Yeah, but then in the summer and whenever the weather is nice, real too, I mean, I love water sports, float trips, out on the boat, swimming, all that stuff.
Very cool. You don't play any instruments?
I am the most musically untalented person in my entire family. Between my parents and my older brother, they've all were high school, state competition winners in either singing or instruments, and the only instrument I play is my stereo.
Well, hey, there's a start.
We have one of our listeners, Damien, wants to know if you do you like Slayer?
Yes.
And okay, there you go, listener.
That's a funny thing. I always cringe when I see these young kids today wearing a Slayer T-shirt. And the only thing I could think of is I liked Slayer before you were born, and you think it's a new band.
Mm-hmm. Well, where are you from? I'm in New York City.
I currently live in Springfield, Missouri. I grew up in Southern California. Right this moment, I'm just south of Chicago, Illinois.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask you if you've ever gone to any venues that would include the older heavy metal bands such as Metallica when they first started out, Armored Saint, Wasp, and all of those guys.
No, my first concert was actually the Shinedown's Avalanche tour just several years ago in Springfield. They came through It was Shinedown, Adelita's Way, and New Medicine. And then after that, I went to the, those radio guys. I can't remember their names. I don't like listening to them on the radio, but they do a thing called the Boobacue. And In This Moment and Pop Evil were there for that. And then I saw Saving Abel in Springfield not that long ago, too.
Yeah,
that's after they got released from their contract with whoever they were with. They had a brand new album out, had all kinds of new stuff, just music that they did. It's really fun.
We're going to have to keep moving along with our interview and get to the reading and all, you know, whatever else we're going to do. But we're going to have to say goodbye to Molly right now. But we need to have...
I had one more question.
Oh, well, I was going to say we're going to have to book Damien again to come back on and for, like, the whole show, and we're going to invite Molly back, and we're just going to have a really fun time, I think. We should do that.
Okay.
But, you know, keep listening. He's got an amazing reading, and it might make you a little hot and bothered.
Okay.
Thank
Take
you
care.
For calling
Thanks.
In, though.
Okay, thank you, Molly.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, Zoe, and have a good night.
Bye.
Yeah, so
okay.
It's
reading. I'm anxious as well. You've built it up now. I'm ready for the reading.
I know. No, I glanced at it, and I was like, oh, my God, that's going to be good. Yeah.
And this time I get to sit back and listen to it being read instead of having to read it. So I get to enjoy it all the more. Okay, Damien, the airwaves are yours, sir. Off you go.
All right, before I go, James, the little one is nowhere near you, correct?
Correct. She's tucked up in her little beddy bys, don't you worry.
Okay, good. I was hoping so. Okay, so basically what I'm just going to do, or what I decided to read, is kind of like the first time. It's just the first part of chapter one, how the book starts. I'll go ahead and throw out the little excerpt first, which is, after my last oh shit moment, which ended in me having a vampire coven's mistress as my submissive, I didn't think life could get any weirder. It's an amazing thing, the people that enter your life randomly. Then you start thinking, is it random? And are you sure they are people? Chapter 1, mm-hmm. Helen and I. I've always enjoyed seeing a woman in white lace, especially one bent over a chair while I flog her. Slap! Harder, please, sir, Helen moans out. I so enjoy teasing her with lighter hits sometimes. I respond with, slap! Oh, yes, thank you, sir. Slap, slap, slap. I pick up the pace a bit. I'm in the mood to work her into a frenzy before I fuck her tonight. There is a full moon shining through the open window, and I'm feeling particularly invigorated. Patience, my pet, I'm in a mood, I whisper. Slap, 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 slap. Watching her back arch and her ass get higher in the air with every strike of the flogger just keeps adding fuel to my lustful fire. I didn't restrain her physically tonight. She's under mental restraint. If she moves her arms or legs from where I told her to put them, she gets punished. I hear her nails scraping across the upholstery of the heavy cloth chair. The muscles in her arms and shoulders flex as she tightens, and the first signs of wetness shows between her lips. Slap, 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 slap. Slap. May I come, sir? She asked through gritted teeth. I drop the flogger and press my body tight to hers, my rock-hard cock going between her legs and rubbing against her clit. Slap, slap. I use my hand on her ass cheek to keep her going. Yes, my pet, you may. I growl as I pull my hips back and slide my cock deep inside her hot pussy. I put a hand on each of her hips, grab hard, and begin an animalistic pounding of the vampire who is the woman I love. I'm coming, she screams out. Keep it going, I command as I move one hand up and take hold of the back of her hair and pull. The feel of being inside her is nothing short of extreme intensity. Every muscle in her body is tensing with inhuman strength. I have told her not to hold back when we play. Her pussy is no exception to that strength, and I push my own limits not to come instantly once her orgasm starts. May I see your eyes, sir? Her orgasms continue to rock her body. I let out a primal growl, something I seem to be doing more often these days, and decide to give my sweet Helen what she is wanting. I pull myself out of her slowly and guide her up using the handful of hair I have. Slide off the chair, turn around and get on your knees, my pet. I instruct her as my cock throbs to my elevated heartbeat. Yes, sir, she replies like a good girl and starts to do what I told her. As she turns, I see her eyes and my mood changes. I let go of her hair. Stand up, baby, I whisper softly. Her look goes to confuse for a moment, but she complies without hesitation. The moment she is standing, I wrap my arms around her waist and pull her in tight, kissing her with all the passion I have. She wraps her arms around my neck and returns the kiss, just as passionate. I coax her legs up around my waist and use her ass to lift her up and then slide her down onto my shaft. The soft moan that escapes her mouth is beautiful. I walk us over to the bed, climb on and lower us both down, me on top. I pull my body back as I stop kissing her and look deep into her eyes. Are you sure this is what you want? I ask her softly. I would not have signed the contract otherwise, she answers with a smile. Then I kiss my way down her chest to go pleasure her other lips with long, slow strokes of my tongue. She grips the blanket tight. Her body shudders and she moans with every lick. I wrap my arms around the outside of her legs and reach up to massage her breasts as I eat her to another orgasm. The taste of the sweet nectar lubricating her pussy fires straight to my groin, and I move back up once her orgasm slows, slide back inside her, and roll us over to put her on top. She doesn't hesitate to start riding me hard, sliding her hips forward and back at a fast pace, digging her nails into my chest just enough to feel them dig. I reach my hands around to grip her hips and squeeze with her movements. Now that I know the truth, she doesn't hold back as much, and the sex has picked up several notches. Fuck yes, ride that cock, baby, I growl at her. She tightens around me more, and I can't hold it back. I explode inside her, and she keeps riding, sending me into multiple orgasms until I can't take it any longer and roll us over. Are you all right? She asks me calmly. I'm great, my love, I answer, trying to catch my breath. Are you sure this is what you want? She asks as she looks deep into my eyes, my cock still throbbing inside her, and me on top again, not moving. I would not have signed the contract, signed it either if I wasn't, I answer and kiss her softly. The contract she presented to me was very thorough and complete. She is open to about anything I could dream up of doing except any form of humiliation, which I wouldn't do anyway. I added a few limits based on the knowledge that she is a vampire, namely, I'm not ready to have her teeth in my body anytime soon. She and several others have told me that in the heat of passion, not during a scary attack, being bitten is better than sex on ecstasy. As appealing as that is, I like my blood in my body.
I love that last line. I do.
That's good. That. I mean, now that is how Twilight should have been written, to be honest.
Oh my God, right?
It would have been a far, far better book had they written it as she written it like that, to be honest. If you ask me.
That was hot. That was really hot.
Do you know, I have to say, even I'm moist over here, so that was good stuff, Damien. Really enjoyed that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, we definitely have to do another show where we have Damien on for the whole show, and we want more of the sliding and the slapping, and we want more of that.
More slapping.
Well, it gets better, and just to tantalize everybody, later on, I actually wrote a really great scene based off of a scene that my baby girl and I did at a dungeon party. About 2 months ago, with hot wax.
Awesome!
Wow!
Awesome!
Yeah, we're gonna have to hear that. Yeah, in your voice reading it, definitely.
Can we have him on next week? I don't want to miss out on that. Sounds great.
I think we're booked. I think we're booked next week.
Oh,
but
boo.
I can. You know what?
Boo.
I can put him on call. Wait, I can put him on call. You know, and then you know, I can just have him. Yeah, I like that idea. You know, and then we'd be hoping, oh my God, please somebody, you know, cancel on us. We can get Damien back. And yeah.
Well, I told you before, if you ever have a cancellation, just holler at me and let me know. I a lot of times about this time at night, I was telling you earlier on PM, I wasn't supposed to be driving tonight.
Right.
I'm a student driver trainer now, so usually I've got someone else chauffeuring me around in my truck. So,
So that book comes out next month, right? April, I forget when.
18th, I believe.
Well,
just after
I'm
Easter.
Planning to,
yeah.
I'm trying to actually have it done by the end of this month because I'm actually I got invited to Naturally Naughty in New Orleans on the 14th. Which
Woo-hoo.
Is an author signing event, and I want to have this one with me. So I'm planning to have it ready, and I'll probably set it for release so people can order it, hopefully by the 7th, which this would be, I think, the third or fourth book I've put out on April 7th of
awesome.
1 year or
awesome.
Another.
Oh, wow.
It seems to be an auspicious day.
We are almost out of time for our show, which is awful because I've had so much fun with you. We have your links put up on our Facebook page, and so if anybody wants to stalk Damien, they can go to the Panic Room Radio Show's Facebook page, and all your stalk links are put up there. And you've already said you'll come back anytime, so that is a binding contract now. You can't get out of it. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's legal now.
Yeah,
it's legal. Did we have time for the 11 questions, or is that
we literally
don't.
Have 30 seconds left? So you've got to come
oh,
back.
Okay.
You have to come back.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on the show again. And yeah, just anytime, holler at me, and we'll set something up as an appointment later. Definitely.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much
indeed, Damon. Okay. We'll speak to you later.
Have a great night.
You too.
And you, sir. Okay. Bye-bye.
That just
went by far too quickly, didn't it? So, unfortunately, time has just is run away with us again. So, and I wanted to make sure we had time because it's the final tune was one, especially for you, Xtina. So, it
Yay.
Is time to say goodnight. Good night, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night.
Some people call me the space cowboy, yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice, 'cause I speak of the pompous of love. People talk about me, baby, say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong. Well, don't you worry, baby, don't worry, 'cause I'm right here at home. 'Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I get my loving on the run. Ooh.
right here at home. You're the cutest thing I ever did see. Really love your peaches, wanna shake your tree. Lovey-dovey, 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 all